Hey gamers, welcome to Gaming is for Girls, the podcast that's more chaotic than trying to play Mario Kart with your grandma. I'm your host, Maya the Menace, here to bring you the latest gaming news, hot takes, and probably some questionable strategies. So grab a snack, adjust your headsets, and let's get into today's episode.
Bam! What up, guys? It's your girl, the Menace. Welcome back to another episode of Gaming is for Girls. This is episode 2. We've made so much progress, because now we're on our second episode. Oh my god. But thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much for returning for another episode. I'm so excited to be here. I am in my Video Games Are Calling Do Not Disturb shirt. Yeah. It doesn't even say that. I just read it wrong. It's Video Games Are Calling and I Must Go. It's like, it looks like an iPhone call. Yep. But I have dressed for the occasion, as you can see. I got my little sprout on my headset, and we're ready to get into today's episode. Any announcements I have? Please follow us on socials. That would be so nice. Our Instagram is Gaming is for Girls, and our Twitter is Gaming is number 4 Girls. So that'd be so nice if you could support us on other platforms. Anything else? Let me think. We have a Patreon now. It is Patreon. Wow, I can't speak. Patreon.com/TheMenaces. Yeah, that's right. Patreon.com/TheMenaces. And listen, the Patreon people are going to be our very important menaces. There's also our most value menaces. Those are the menaces you can be on Patreon. And those menaces get a bonus episode of Gaming is for Girls. They also get decision-making privileges with the content in the future and what we're going to cover on the show, which is so exciting. And they also get some other perks that I'll get into probably at the end of the episode. If I don't forget, but I wrote it down, so I shouldn't forget. But we have a Patreon now, so that would be so great if you could help support the show so I can push out more content, so I can get better equipment. Oh my gosh, and maybe one day I'll get a studio, because right now I'm in the basement, so you know what I mean. But today's topic is the cozy gamer apocalypse. So I know what you're thinking. What is a cozy gamer? What are cozy games? And what is the cozy gaming apocalypse? So, a cozy game, we'll start off with a cozy game, is a game that's pretty low stress. There's not a lot of fighting or violence or tension going on in the game. It's very calming. That I would say that's the main point of a cozy game, is to be calm, low stress, low tension, really just happy-go-lucky times. Is what I would say. A cozy gamer, if you can guess, is someone who plays primarily cozy games. I personally wouldn't put myself in the cozy gamer category. I feel like I relate more to variety gaming, because I do have games that I like to play that are definitely not low tension. But I can enjoy and appreciate a nice cozy game here and there. And I saw a TikTok that was talking about cozy gaming versus comfort gaming. I don't think those are the same thing. I don't think they're synonymous, because a comfort game for me is Fortnite. And I would not consider Fortnite a cozy game at all. It stresses me out like all get out. And I know I said it's a comfort game. I really enjoy playing it. And when I'm like stressed out or like overworked or just anxious in general, I'll be like, you know what? Let me hop on Fortnite, because I really enjoy my time on Fortnite. Does it still stress me out? Yes. Yes, it does. Okay. Shooting games stress me out. Battle Royale games stress me out. But it's a comfort game of mine, and I can't explain my rationale behind it. So that's why I think cozy gaming and comfort gaming are two separate things. With the cozy gaming apocalypse, I've been seeing this rise in cozy gamers. across social media, across TikTok, across Instagram, and cozy gaming has been around for quite some time. But I think it's gaining popularity, or gaining more popularity in recent years, especially in the recent months. I've seen a lot of people get into cozy gaming, which is great. I think cozy gaming, and I was gonna, this is on my docket later, so I'm actually gonna talk about it later. So we're gonna get more into what makes a cozy game. Because like I said, cozy gaming is not the same as comfort gaming. You can have your comfort game and it can not categorize as a cozy game. So a cozy game is a game that has soothing visuals, a soothing soundtrack, and these games really value tranquility over tension. These are the kind of games that you can, like, after a long day, you, like, fire up a cup of tea, you cuddle up in bed or cuddle up in your beanbag with a blanket, and you're just, I imagine cozy gamers, like, playing on a Switch, but I know a lot of cozy gamers are also PC players. So, if you're a PC cozy gamer, you got your tea, you got your blanket, you got your gaming chair, you're all snuggled up. I feel like when you play a cozy game, you can, you know what I mean? While you're playing it, or right before you start, I'm really going to enjoy this gaming session. And I feel like a lot of cozy games are indie games and simulators. And yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate description of what most cozy games fall under. But there are also definitely some mainstream cozy games, which I will touch on later. Cozy gaming offers for a laid-back gaming experience, and it really highlights escaping the stressors in your life. Cozy gaming, you're not going to get on a cozy game and be more stressed when you start it off. Or maybe you might, depending on the game, actually. I feel like that didn't make sense, but like in my head, I thought of the game Coffee Talk and how the characters be stressing me out. So that was just a really specific example. But like I said before, we're getting into the cozy gamer community, because like I said, over the past few months and the past year, cozy gaming has really come into the forefront of the gaming community. And I think this is great because the cozy gaming community will welcome you with open arms. It's a great place to start off your gaming journey if you're stressed or worried about the gaming community being maybe a little too harsh or maybe a little too overly competitive for some games. Sometimes you don't want to play a game that's a high stress, high tension game, and you just want to decompress. And that's really what cozy gaming is for, and what the cozy gaming community is for, is prioritizing your self-care and your mental well-being with a nice cozy game. Yeah, I didn't have, so the thing about me is sometimes I'll be on a good tangent, but once the tangent ends in my head, I have nothing else prepared to say. So that break off just now, it was like a, you know those, dang it, what are they called? You know, like, on an award show, how they have the words in the background? A teleprompter? I feel like I have a teleprompter in my head sometimes, and then the teleprompter just stops showing words. And it's like, okay, well, now what? Now I just look stupid, staring into the distance. Anyways, I was saying that cozy gaming, and when you're a cozy gamer, you can have gaming not only as a hobby, but also as a form of, like, taking a step back from life itself. Like, cozy gaming really gives you that escapism, and so gaming in general gives you a sense of escapism from whatever you're dealing in life, but cozy gaming specifically gives you that escapism that refuels you for the day. What? Dawson, I am filming right now. Oh, here he comes. All right, Dawson, you can say hi to the people. I am sorry, we are having a... Oh, we're having a cat visitor. He just wants attention. Sometimes he gets a little lonely, and he wants attention. Oh, and now he's gone. Okay. Thank you, Dawson, for showing face. What I was saying was that Cozy Gaming does give gamers the chance to recharge from whatever they're going through. I know that in 2020, Animal Crossing New Horizons just dropped, and we'll talk about that a little later. But that, woo, if you're talking about escapism, the 2020 Animal Crossing New Horizons era was it, because that was when we went into quarantine lockdown and people just needed a break from reality. And so the amount of Animal Crossing community that was being built at that time, I'm not gonna lie, it helped a lot getting through the brunt of the pandemic. So that being said, I wouldn't say that Cozy Gaming is just for cozy gamers. Like I said myself, I'm a variety gamer and I have cozy game titles that I really enjoy. There are like different types of gamers. You don't have to be just one type of gamer, you know what I mean? So even if you're a real seasoned gamer and you love first-person shooters and battle royales and games like that, you can still take enjoyment in a nice little comfy game. You know what I mean? Like, and comfy games, I would say, are really, really story focused. I feel like that's a big part of cozy gaming is learning about the story behind the game and the characters and the setting and stuff like that. I feel like cozy gaming is a really immersive experience. And I feel like that's something that battle royales don't have much to offer. Because I feel like battle royales are more combat centered, combat focused. So that's something that I think cozy games are really good at. So like I was saying, cozy gaming is for everybody, even if you're a seasoned gamer or if you're someone who's just starting out in the gaming community and you want a nice, gentle introduction to what gaming is like, I would definitely recommend starting off with some cozy gaming. That being said, I have some cozy titles that I wanted to talk about. I have some indie, some mainstream cozy games here. So first off, Stardew Valley is a very well-known cozy game. It is an indie game, and it's a country life RPG where you tend to a farm plot that you inherited from your grandfather, and you do things like hiking. Hi, it's Maya from the future, and I meant to say you can do mining in Stardew Valley. You don't hike in Stardew Valley. You just kind of walk around your little pixelated valley. You don't hike, you mine. My fault, okay? My fault. Fishing, foraging, upgrading your farm, taking care of the animals. But that's not all Stardew Valley has to offer. Like, it's not only a farming simulator. I mean, it is a farming simulator, don't get me wrong. But there's also a great level of depth to the game when you start to interact with the characters and you learn their stories and their secrets and you learn the history of Stardew Valley and the town that you're living in. The different storylines in Stardew Valley really make the game an immersive experience because there's just so much to learn about everybody and the town that it really isn't just a farming simulator. It's like someone once said that I treat Stardew Valley like a dating simulator, which is fair because you can also date the characters once you get to know them better. So you can use it as a social simulator, as a dating simulator. It's really what you make of it, because you're not pressured to interact with the characters to build that storyline. You can choose who you get close with and whose story you learn, and so on and so forth. The next game I have on my list is Animal Crossing, and in brackets I put New Horizons, because there's so many Animal Crossing games, and the Animal Crossing series is a cozy game series. So whatever Animal Crossing title you decide to pick up is going to be a cozy game. I'm going to be talking about New Horizons because it's the newest one. Dawson is playing with a sock on the floor, so that's what's happening in my room right now. But Animal Crossing New Horizons, if you're I'm going to explain it as if you're unfamiliar with the Animal Crossing collection, because I realized recently that a lot of people haven't played Animal Crossing before, and Animal Crossing New Horizons was their first game, which is cool. I'm going to talk about Animal Crossing more later, so I'm just going to give a brief description of it. In Animal Crossing, you get to create your own paradise island where you're able to customize and decorate your island home. And what's cool about Animal Crossing New Horizons that's different from the other games is not only can you decorate your house and the interior of buildings, you can also decorate outside. Dawson, please. You can also decorate outside of your house and decorate the island itself. Wow, I'm thirsty. What the heck? Wow, I don't have water. I don't have any drink next to me besides a fucking Coca-Cola. And you know what's sick? I'm gonna have to drink it because my throat is actually parched. Ew, that's grim. Okay, so as I was saying, not only can you decorate the inside of buildings in your house, you can also decorate outside and around the island. And you can even sculpt the island itself. Does that make sense the way I just explained it? No. Do the people who play Animal Crossing know what I'm talking about? Yes. That's as best as I can describe it. And I'll go into it later. But in Animal Crossing, you can also build relationships with the villagers that live on your island. And you can travel to different islands to find different villagers and different fruits and bugs and fish and trees even. Like, it's really about, I would say Animal Crossing is really about connecting with nature and connecting with your neighbors on the island. Like, okay, now I'm getting too into it. I'll return to Animal Crossing later, but that's a very great cozy game. Next on the list is Spiritfarer, which I have never played myself, but it was recommended to me. It is a cozy game about dying. And I know what you're thinking. Dying? Are you sure that's a cozy game topic? I know it sounds concerning, but it is a very peaceful and satisfying game to play. From what I've heard and what I've seen from the trailer, it's a game where you play as the character Stella, who is the fairy master for the dead, and they explore the world and they befriend and care for these spirits that they meet along the way, and eventually they send them into the afterlife. And I think, from what I've heard, it's a really touching game that really makes you think differently of death and the afterlife and mourning. So, it is a very heavy topic for a game, but from what I've seen in the trailer, the art and the messages behind the game are very touching. So, that's another one. Another game that I've seen pretty recently grow in popularity, and I wouldn't say it's not a popular game. I haven't seen it reach that height, but I've seen it in my gaming circle, is Palia. And Palia is a multiplayer simulation game where you focus on skill building, which are tasks such as hunting and bug catching, gardening, and much more. And you use these skills to craft your home and your homeland. And this game, I also have never seen this, played this game before, excuse me. From what I've seen of Palia, it looks really similar to Free Realms, which is not around anymore. It was an online game similar to Wizard 101, like that same concept, but it stopped at some point, because I played it when I was a child, and I remember it being discontinued, and then I started looking into it recently, and I think I don't know if it's the original game company that owned Free Realms, but somebody's trying to bring it back, and it's in beta testing right now, so it's not back officially, but it's a work in progress, and I'm actually kind of excited about it, because there's so much nostalgia behind me and Free Realms. I would play it with my sister religiously. So if it does come back, I'm definitely going to try that out and see how it is compared to when I played it years, 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 years ago. But that's what Palia reminds me of. So that's very cool. I actually should try Palia. Now that I'm talking about Free Realms and how Palia reminds me of Free Realms, I'll probably enjoy Palia a lot. Especially because it's multiplayer, just like Free Realms was. Yeah, that's nice. Another one is A Short Hike, which is a short, hence the name, open world exploration game where you play as a little penguin. And the end task of the game is to reach the summit of the mountain. So you're essentially taking a hike to the mountain. And you get to meet all these other hikers along the way. And hikers are like other animals that are hiking up the mountain. I think there are some humans in the game, but for the most part, everyone's an animal. And A Short Hike is a pretty short game. I played it in one sitting. It took me a few hours. I'd say maybe 3 hours max is how long it would take you to play A Short Hike if you sat down and played through the whole thing. But it's such a cute game. It is the cutest thing. The characters are cute. Their dialogue is cute. They're funny. The little like tasks you have to do to reach the top of the mountain is cute. And the ending is so cute too. Like, it's just a cute game. So if you're looking for something that's like short and sweet, I would definitely recommend A Short Hike. Then the last game I have on my list is Sims 4, which is definitely a mainstream game. I don't know how long Sims 4 has been out. It's been out for years, because I have not heard any wind of another Sims game coming out for the time being. I don't know. I haven't, and granted, I haven't been up to date with Sims news, but Sims 4 has been out for so long. I remember it was out when I was in undergrad, my freshman year. So that was 4 or 5 years ago it's been out. And if you're not familiar with the Sims franchise, Sims is a social simulation game, and there's not really an objective or an end goal of the game. It's really an experience that's based off of the choices the player makes and who you decide to build relationships with in the game. And I think Sims is cool. I've definitely played Sims before. I have only played Sims 4 once, but I've played multiple Sims games. On my channel, I've played Sims Herbs in the City, which is the, I like to call it Sims for Black people, because it's just so stereotypical that it just doesn't make sense. You're like literally the landlord of your apartment building is Will.i.am, and it doesn't make sense at all. And also, if you're standing, now we're just getting off the topic, but if you're just standing around in the Sims Herbs in your apartment, you'll hear gunshots in the distance, like ambient noise. And at some point they give you a I think it's a bulldog. Just randomly. They're like, here, you might like this. It's a dog. But they don't give you a toilet. I was so perplexed when playing this game. They didn't give me a toilet. So whenever they didn't give me a toilet and they didn't give me a bed, but they gave me a bulldog. My priorities in this game are not set straight, because why can I not relieve myself on the toilet, but I have a dog to take care of? Okay, now see we're getting a little off topic, but The Sims is a great cozy game because you can essentially do whatever you want. It gives you a lot of freedom for what you get to do in the game, and especially if you mod it. Oh my gosh, I tried modding my game for the first time when I played Sims 4. And it gives you so many options. There's so many things you can do, and you can be so creative with building your character. And I know a lot of people play Sims solely for the customization, the character customization. You can spend hours alone customizing your characters. Not even doing the actual gameplay, just customizing your characters alone, you can do 4 hours. So that's the end of my list, is with the Sims franchise. And just like the Animal Crossing franchise, the whole Sims is a cozy game experience. So it doesn't matter what Sims title you pick up, it will definitely be a nice, calm, cozy time. And don't get me wrong, you can stir up some mayhem in Sims if you really wanted to, and with the mods you download. Yeah, there's this one mod for Sims, and I don't know what it's called specifically, but it's a real violent mod where you can like beat Sims' ass, and I'm sure you can like stab people and kill them and stuff like that. It's kind of crazy. I've seen some clips on TikTok of people using that mod, and it's like, what's really going on in your Sims world? That place looks like a hell. You're putting those Sims through hell. Through trials and tribulations. Anyways. So I want to go into depth more about my favorite cozy games, because I did say there are some titles that I'm really fond of. And my first is going to be Animal Crossing. Oh my god. If there are 1,000 Animal Crossing fans, I am one of them. If there's 100 Animal Crossing fans, I'm one of them. If there's one Animal Crossing fan, it's me. If there are none, then I died. I love Animal Crossing so, so, so much. It was my first ever cozy game. I played, not the original, because the original Animal Crossing game, I'm pretty sure, was a Japanese version. But the first version of Animal Crossing that was available in the US was the GameCube Animal Crossing game. That's where my Animal Crossing journey started. I started with the very first Animal Crossing game. I played it with my sister on the Wii, because the original Wii had a GameCube function where you could play GameCube games. And we would spend hours playing Animal Crossing together. And by together, because at this time, I don't think Animal Crossing was multiplayer. Because I'm sure you can only play one person at a time for the early Animal Crossing games. So us playing Animal Crossing together was really us taking turns and the other person watching. But that was my first ever cozy game. And I've played almost every single game that they have come out with throughout the years. And if I go through there, what's the word for like discography, but with video games? Videography? Video gameography? I don't know. I'll search it up later. But if I go through that, I'm gonna embarrass myself because I don't have good memory. But there's the Animal Crossing GameCube. There was Animal Crossing there was the Animal Crossings for the DS. There was one for regular DS, I'm pretty sure, and one for 3DS. I know Wild World, I think, is one of them. For the Wii was Animal Crossing City Folk, which I also have. I own the Animal Crossing GameCube game and I own the Animal Crossing City Folk. And then there was Animal Crossing, I feel like there was something after City Folk, but I really might just be talking out my ass. Then they had like some spin-off games. Like they had Animal Crossing, they had this weird Animal Crossing party game. What was it? Animal Crossing Amiibo Party or something like that. Then there was the Animal Crossing Happy Home Academy, which I never played. And I think I played the board game, Animal Crossing game, one time. I think I have it, though. I think we own it. And then Animal Crossing New Horizons came out on Switch. And I remember distinctly when Animal Crossing New Horizons came out, because it was March of 2020, and it was when my school was closing down for quarantine. I remember I had a whiteboard calendar in my room, and the only things marked in the calendar was the release date for Animal Crossing, for the Animal Crossing Switch, and the release date for the Animal Crossing game, because they came out with an Animal Crossing limited edition Switch, which has like the on the back of it has like, I don't know how to explain it, the console itself is matte black on the back, but then in glossy black is like the characters of the Animal Crossing game, and it's the cutest thing ever, and the Joy-Cons are pastel. Oh my god, I love my Switch. I don't know where it is. I think it's over there in my room, so I can't really show you, but I remember it was the day that we had to leave school for quarantine. I begged and pleaded to my dad. I said, "Dad, please take me to Walmart because the Animal Crossing New Horizons limited edition Switch just came out and I need to get it, and it's at the specific Walmart near the school." And my dad was like, "Maya, we're in a pandemic. We have to go home." I said, "Dad, please, please, Dad." And he took me to Walmart, and there was like two of those Switches left, and I bought the Switch, and I was so happy. And the only reason I bought that Switch, the only reason I bought a Switch, period, point blank, was so I could play Animal Crossing New Horizons. That was it. I do play other things now on my Switch, but that was the only reason I bought the damn Switch to begin with. It's because I needed to play that fucking game. It was serious. So I bought that, and then when the game came out, I think I pre-ordered the game. Got that, and boy, let me tell you, I was playing that game like no one's fucking business. I was playing that game day to night, every single day of every week of every month for like 3-4 months straight. I would just get up, sit in the on the couch, like I said earlier today. Earlier this episode, what the hell am I talking about? I would get a blanket, cozy up on the couch, drink my coffee, cozy up on the couch, and just play this fuck ass little game with these little creatures that do you know how much serotonin that gives me? I don't think, is serotonin the right word? Dopamine? Hold on. Because that, I feel like that sounded dumb just now. Let me see. Yeah, that was not right. Anyway, those little animals in Animal Crossing be giving me such a dopamine rush. And they just be talking gibberish. And what's sick is, and I'm not going to spoil the game, which is a real loose term to use for Animal Crossing. Because it's kind of like Sims, where there's no ending objective. You're kind of just living in your little island world. But that little raccoon, he's not a raccoon. He's like he's definitely not a raccoon. He's a certain animal that the name escapes me, but Tom Nook and him and his little nephews charging me rent and coming to collect my mortgage fees brings me so much joy and happiness. And I think this game is a really good introduction to gaming, especially cozy gaming, because it's just such a low stress game. I don't think there's any kind of, no, there's definitely stress in Animal Crossing. It's low stress. It's a low stress game. Don't get me wrong. Getting chased by those motherfucking tarantulas. I promise you to this day, I don't play Animal Crossing at night because I can't do it. I'm not getting chased up and down the island by a tarantula. I'm not doing it. But just as a case in point, my mom for, I think it was 2022, if I had to take a guess, she bought my grandmother a Switch and she bought her Animal Crossing. And to this day, my grandmother is so obsessed with that game. She loves that game so much. She talks about it all the time. My grandmother calls me in the middle of the day to ask me Animal Crossing questions. She'll be like, hey, honey, how do I get the coffee shop in Animal Crossing? The coffee shop? I searched it up and people are saying that I have to talk to some bird and I haven't seen him around. Like, have you had this issue? She always asks me if I have the same issue in Animal Crossing. And most of the times I don't. Like, it's seeing my grandmother enjoy Animal Crossing is such a wholesome experience. And it just makes my heart so warm. This past Christmas, I bought her these coasters. These Roost coasters, which is the coffee shop in Animal Crossing. It's called The Roost. And I bought her these coasters that were from The Roost. That they had The Roost logo on it. And she was confused and she was like, what is this? And I was like, it's from Animal Crossing. It's the coffee shop. And she was like, I don't have a coffee shop on my island. And in Animal Crossing, you have to unlock the coffee shop by going to a mystery island and finding Brewster, who's the barista. And you have to talk to him and invite him to your island so he can set up shop. And I told her this. And she was like, oh, that's who that was? On that island? I talked to him. What is he? A pigeon? I was like, yeah. She was like, I didn't like his voice. So I told him he couldn't come back to my island. Grandma, you're missing an integral part of the game because you didn't like this pigeon's voice. And granted, Brewster's voice is very deep. He talks like this. He's like, he kind of sounds like Sans from Undertale. And I get it. It's a little off-putting, but it's Brewster. I remember when Animal Crossing New Horizons first came out and Brewster wasn't in the game, people were raising hell. They were like, where is he? That's my man's. And they brought him later. He was an update, like way later in the game. But it's funny that Brewster was such an integral character to people who, like, were familiar to Animal Crossing. And my grandma was just like, no, I don't like him. I don't like his voice. He can't come. It's hilarious. And from there, so it was my family playing Animal Crossing. It was me, my sister, my brother. We all played Animal Crossing. Then my mom got it from my grandmother, so now my grandmother plays. And then my aunt started playing. My mom's sister started playing. And then my mom, she told me, she was like, I see you guys talking about Animal Crossing so much, and I feel left out because I've never played it. I don't have a Switch. And she was like, I think I'm going to get a Switch, and I think I'm going to play Animal Crossing. And I just can't wait for her to do that because that conversation happened recently. So I'm just waiting for my mom to get a Switch because I just feel like it would be such a great experience for her to get into cozy gaming because, like I said, it would give her that sense of escapism from life and work and stuff like that. And I feel like gaming is just such a, cozy gaming at least, is just such a nice stress-free hobby to have. And you're just doing like little fun tasks on this island with these animals and stuff like that. Like, I think my mom will really enjoy it. So I'm really excited for her to get her Switch and start playing Animal Crossing. Ugh, and I'm going to invite her to my island. And I'm going to get her little gifts for her island. I'm so excited. But that's pretty much all I have to say with Animal Crossing. Love that game to death. Still play it to this day. I have so many Animal Crossing, like, trinkets and stuff like that. Like, this. I got this recently from Etsy. I got it for myself for Christmas. It's a Catholic candle, but instead of Jesus being on it, or, like, one of the saints, it's Tom Nook. And it's just so unserious. It's really unserious, but I love it. I keep it on my desk. And that's it. I love Animal Crossing. The next cozy game I want to cover, though, is Stardew Valley. I love that game so much. I started playing it 2022, maybe? 2021? I don't know. I played it one time and then I left it on the back burner for so long because it was the first game I streamed and I talked about my whole streaming history in the last episode. So I'm not going to cover that again. But it took me a while to get back to Animal Crossing, so I only played it in one session and then I got back to it. And it's, I didn't realize upon getting the game that there was so much more to the game than just running this farm. It was so detailed. Like, the characters are so detailed. Their stories are so detailed. Their interactions. The time that they do certain things. The time that you have to do certain things to trigger events in the game. Like, it's so well thought out. And I have played this game relentlessly for months. And I'm talking about, I might have played it for like 6 months back to 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 back. I played it first on the Switch on console. I played on the Switch for a few months and then I got my GPU and then I was able to play it on PC. And when I played it on PC, I modded it. So now the game, the thing about modding Stardew Valley already is such a intricate game in and of itself, like with all the storylines and all the side quests and stuff like that. When you mod the game, it adds like so many more layers to the game because now you have so many different characters in the game. You have like double as many characters in the game when you mod it, depending on what mods you get. But you get like double as much characters and all those characters have their own backstories and they have their own secrets that you have to learn about and they have their own events in the game. And it's just so much. And you get to learn about all these different characters in the game. You get to build relationships with all these characters in the game and see how they evolve based on time, really, and how you treat them and the gifts that they like and stuff like that. And it's just, I love that game so, so much. And the community, the Stardew Valley community is so welcoming and supportive. I think most of my fan base at this moment are mainly Stardew Valley, or from the Stardew Valley community. So I've been seeing nothing but support from them, which is so great. And it's great seeing people enjoy my gameplay as well. And something that I really like about Stardew Valley is the characters are so three-dimensional. And what I mean by that is, like, they're not, like, they have a lot of development and personality in how they act. A lot of their lines are, like, condescending and snarky and have attitude, and it's just like this, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the original Animal Crossing games where the villagers would kind of be mean to you and you were like, wow, I did not expect you to say that to me. But it made the game more entertaining. And granted, I'm sure there were people who didn't like it, but I think it's funny when video game characters like are able to catch an attitude with you. Because, and I feel like people are just so used to, like, in Cozy Gaming 2, like the characters being nice and all la-di-da and happy-go-lucky. So when I first talked to one of the characters, his name is Shane, I had like first moved into the valley and I talked to Shane and he was like, I do not know you. Stop talking to me. I was like, what? Who are you talking to, first of all? Like, it was just so entertaining to play that game. And that game is like, it's so impressive to me because I started looking into the backstory of Stardew Valley, and I'm not going to go into it that much because I want it to be its own episode. But the fact that it was all put together and developed and made and styled and coded by Concerned Ape is so impressive. And I just have so much love for that game. I really feel like I can't express it enough. What a game. I love Stardew Valley. So my favorite cozy games, Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley, are definitely my top picks for starting to get into cozy gaming. Some other titles I just thought of, like, throughout the episode. The Untitled Goose Game is a very funny, laid-back game. You play as a goose, and you just cause mayhem to humans. You just inconvenience their life, which is hilarious. And this game, this next one, might be kind of controversial. Like, I don't think it would be... I don't know. I consider it a cozy game. I feel like some people could argue that it's not, but I'm going to argue that it is. Stray, I think that's a cozy game. In Stray, you play as a cat, a stray cat, and I'm not done the game, so I can't really talk about it in its entirety, but you play as a cat and you interact with these robots because it's kind of like, the game's kind of like in a post-apocalyptic setting where humans aren't really around. It's mainly just robots. So you befriend all these robots and you're trying to get to quote unquote the outside, which I think is where humans are if they're still alive. But you play as a cat, it's pretty open world. You explore the world and these robots and these clues to what humanity was like during these times. And I feel like it could be argued as not a cozy game because there are chase scenes, because there are enemies that you have to like run away from, and you also kind of have to fight the enemies too. So I can see how it can be a little stressful, but I think the combat in the game isn't intense at all, to where it would disqualify it as a cozy game. So I would say that's a cozy game as well, because the storyline and the adventure aspects of the game are very relaxing. Okay, so I think that's pretty much it for the episode. We're hitting around 50 minutes right now. We have to do question card of the day and our ending announcements, but that's pretty much my little take on cozy gaming. I think cozy gaming is fantastic. I'm really excited to see a lot of people get into gaming more because of cozy gaming, and gaming really being such a unique experience for everybody. Like, there's truly a game for everybody if you're interested in joining the gaming community and picking up gaming as a hobby. And cozy gaming is absolutely still quote unquote real gaming. Like, and granted, I'm sure there's a select audience of people who would argue that cozy gaming isn't real gaming because what? You're not shooting people and stuff like that. It's a video game. It's still a video game. It has different objectives. It has what? Real life objectives. It's low violence. It's still a game. A video game is a video game is a video game. Cozy gamers are gamers. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think being a cozy gamer invalidates the gamer title, or it doesn't make you a real gamer or whatever and whatnot. You play the games that you want to play. You play what brings you the most joy, the most happiness, the most satisfaction. It's your gaming experience. It's up to you to make the best of it and play what's right for you. So if that's cozy gaming, if that's solely cozy gaming, if it's cozy gaming mixed in with other stuff, you're a variety gamer. If you don't like cozy gaming at all and you like the high stress stuff, a gamer is a gamer is a gamer. That's what I'm saying. But I'm going to wrap up this episode with the question card of the day. I'm taking the question card of the day from the Let's Get Deep Friends edition. And I'm going to do a level one, which is an icebreaker, because we're still like getting to know each other. So I think an icebreaker would be best for us. So today's icebreaker is, what's your go-to snack right now? And I have the answer for this, because I have been hyper fixated on this one snack. It's been weeks and I just can't stop eating it. I just bought another bag yesterday. The Doritos Flamin' Hot Nacho. Oh my god, I love it, okay? Not a sponsor, but you should sponsor me because I love those so much. I will eat them till my stomach burns. And I bought a new bag yesterday. And honestly, after this, when I'm editing, I might fire up some Flamin' Hot Doritos and just go to town. There was at one point my fingers were stained just like a pale pink because I kept eating these damn chips. And I would wash my hands every time after eating them, but I was eating them so much the pigment just stayed there for a few days. It was terrible. But yeah, that's my go-to snack right now. I don't know when I'm going to get out of this hyperfixation of Flamin' Hot Doritos, but for right now, that's my snack. So let me know what your go-to snack is right now in the comments. That's really all I had for today's cozy episode. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for watching, for supporting the podcast. It means so, so much to me. Please follow me on my socials at Gaming is for Girls on Instagram, Menace Mile on Instagram, and Gaming is number 4. Wow, that was the nastiest voice crack I've ever done in my life. I actually am going to end without an outro. Goodbye. That's all for today's episode. I'm just joking. Thank you for watching. Our Twitter is Gaming is for number 4 Girls. Instagram is Gaming 4 Girls spelled out. And we have a Patreon if you would like to further support the podcast. The Patreon is patreon.com/themenaces. Anything else? Not really. I am looking to, this is an idea, I'm looking to do a book club for the podcast. I want to do like video game books. Like video game history books and just like the history of gaming and stuff like that. So I'm gonna have that on the podcast. Like I'm gonna talk about the books on the podcast, but I'm gonna have a book club, like an actual book club where we discuss the books and the topics in the books and stuff like that. And it's gonna be accessible through Patreon. So with the Patreon membership, you're also going to get access to the book club where we will discuss the books, we'll decide on what book we're going to read next for the podcast, and we'll discuss it, share our opinions, and it'll be a great time. So if you're interested in that, head over to patreon.com/themenaces, see all the perks you get with a Menace membership. Yeah, that's all I have for today. And yeah. I don't know why I can't end the episode just normally. But anyways, thank you so much for watching. I've been your host, The Menace, and I will see you next time. Bye! That's all for today's episode. Thank you for joining me, and be sure to subscribe or follow my podcast on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss a menacing moment. Be sure to leave a review of the podcast, and also hit me up on Instagram and Twitter at Gaming is for Girls. It's a big help, and it means oh so much to me. Thanks again, and remember, gaming is for everyone, but especially the girls. Bye, guys.